This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas. Good morning, good morning. It is Thursday, the 11th of February, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. I got another guest in studio today, but before I start my show proper, I just got a couple of notes I want to make. Yesterday, I was on the port, Arawaki port, doing a little courier movements, and on my way out of the port for the second time of the day, I was behind a big dump truck. I don't know who the dump truck belongs to. I can't call road traffic and identify the driver or the owner because it had no markings on it, not even a license plate. But this is what I do know. It has a red trap door, and special goodies and prizes fall out of that trap door. By goodies and surprises, what I mean is hazardous materials, right? On my drive out of the port, this vehicle filled with fill, looked like what, pea gravel or something like that, filled, just leaked its fill. It's like Little Red Riding Hood. If you follow, unfortunately, I was busy, right? If you follow the trail. So what I did was I said, you know what, Erin? Let's call 919, right? Because 919 could send a mobile patrol unit out to follow the breadcrumbs, I mean the pea gravel. See, because if it was breadcrumbs, it may not have been a problem, right? But right. But because it's pea gravel, right, it now represents a hazard to pedestrian traffic, motor vehicle traffic, and motorcycle traffic, in particular motorcyclists, right? So imagine the entire road is filled with this pea gravel, right? So, like I said, it's a whole number of problems. The first is that you this represents a massive hazard for road users. Second of all, you have a vehicle unmarked, unidentifiable, that just enters and exits the port. I mean, we know that there's a security station where they check driver's licenses, right? But what about other people using the port? See, that comes to the second part of my little thing here, right? Because the first time I was on the port, it was early in the morning. And I got there too early because the port doesn't open to client traffic, right, until 8 a.m. So after having passed three rows of trucks, some containers without cabs, some cabs without containers, right, parked in what would be the three westbound lanes to enter the port, right? So after I had to maneuver my way around these vehicles and people just meandering through the road, right, to get to the port to find out I was 5 minutes early and I couldn't get in, I had to go and find a place to line up with the trucks, right, because we're going in separate entrances. And then as I was getting ready to exit that line of trucks, I almost got run down by a truck. Unmarked, no license plates, no markings on the vehicle, right? So that's the second reason. How could you have unmarked, unlicensed, because they don't have no license plate on it, so as far as I'm concerned, it's unlicensed vehicles entering and exiting the port. And see, this is also a problem because some of these vehicles, not all, because I've seen some world-class professional drivers on the compound when I'm there. But some of y'all don't realize that you are required to stop at the same stop signs as all us little people, right? It's just a plethora of hazards. So what is somebody supposed to do if they get run off the edge of the road, or they push their own car off the edge of the road so as not to get run over and crushed by one of these big vehicles? You can't even identify it, the vehicle. And then when you try to call the police to tell them, hey, there is an incident that has happened, and potentially more incidents are going to happen, and this constitutes a risk, and maybe y'all could do something about it, a lot of them get frustrated. And like when I called the first time, the people couldn't even figure out how to keep the phone off the hook. Because I know y'all are stressed, right? You can't be that stressed. But this is the poor people. This is like the echelon of service in your country. This is supposed to be one of the tightest functioning systems in your country. But the behavior out there is ridiculous. And perhaps it's because there are lack of standards. Certainly the paint in the road has faded. Maybe people no longer know where they're supposed to line up. Also, maybe there needs to be standardized training for any drivers that want to work on the port, right? Because we know that they don't have training. There's no requirement for training to drive one of those trucks. But maybe the port can inculcate culture, right? Could shift the driving culture and the appreciation for standards in driving and commercial driving by requiring special certification to access the port. We could minimize any risk of sort of discrimination or marginalization of, you know, people. You'd say, okay, look, it seems like only people who could afford to do certain things could work on the port. No, that's where your unions come in, right? You got your unions, you got your professional guilds, right? You as drivers need to come together and form a union and then create and enact standards. Okay, guys, y'all almost crushed me yesterday, and I ain't even hit tamarind season yet, and I know where one sweet, see, it ain't nothing like a sweet Thailand tree planted in sour Fox Hill ground. What? They produce the best tamarind ever. And I got to touch that tree before I pass away. Anyway, yeah, you see what I'm saying? Anyway, I run hot a little bit just now. I see I got two callers on the line. So here's what we're going to do. Let me start the show. Then we're going to go to a break. And then callers, if you could hold on, you come in after the break. If you can't hold on, let the producer know, and he can let me know, and we could try a thing. So you're listening to On the Clock. Yesterday, my guest called in via Zoom, and this created a number of difficulties in the interview. If you would like a copy of yesterday's show, reach out to the producer and he will give me your contact info and I'll pass the show on to you. But to recap, the 9th of February was the anniversary of the execution of Dick DeVoe, a driver, like a slave driver, who sparked and was the center of a revolt that shifted the attitudes of some slavers toward chattel slavery. The descendants of the Africans involved include, but are not limited to, the DeVos, the Williamses, and the Poitiers, including the one and only Sidney Poitier, right? And even I discovered between yesterday and today that even I have roots, yeah. Williams roots in Cat Island. Right. But, you know, my story is intertwined with Cat Island anyway. I camp out on the highest point in the Bahamas on the on Y2K, the New Year's, just in case, you know, like just in case the aliens was coming, I was going to be right there. Right. So anyway, for those who missed the show or weren't able to hear the show as clearly as they wanted, hit me up and I'll get you a recording so you can recap the show. My guest, one second, I'm going to go to these callers. My first caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I am blessed. Thank God for Jesus. Good morning, Mr. Adrian Francis. The truth must come out. And
one second, that's
blaming everybody.
That's not
the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has to deal with all of this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, ma'am. Although my guest has started speaking, that's not Mr. Adrian Francis. They're two strong, powerful voices. But there's a different strong, powerful man. Okay, my second caller, on the clock. You on the clock.
Good morning. How you doing, Miss Grace?
Oh, good morning. How you do?
How you doing, Adrian Francis?
This is not Adrian Francis.
Oh, I
see, Sparky, I got this problem, right? I got a bunch of strong guests that come on my show, and they don't never wait for me to introduce them. Ever. Right? So they start talking. But that ain't Mr. Adrian Francis.
Oh, I thought I heard you mention his name. Well, I was waiting on the phone, and I just said, Adrian Francis. But anyway, you were talking about the port and things a while ago.
Yes, sir.
And you know that area, what we call, okay, the fish fry is the western side,
right,
by the police station.
Right.
And the other area go east, where the other little huts, like the little ones, which got tow away with wheels and they go out.
The mobile booths.
The mobile section. You know that road going east along that you go so far that they got a fence and a cross stop you going all the way?
Yes.
You know what caused that?
No, tell me.
The block that? I used to hang out there with a friend of mine that does the Jurican thing like that.
You caused it, Sparky? You always being
No. That's, I said I used to hang out there.
Okay.
But, you know, I retired now. Sometimes you go and sit up with your friend and I'm a cold one and I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
And this particular driver, what do you call them? What do you call them? Head? Them tractor head? Or
yeah.
Them big head? Or they hook them things on the trailer. He used to come out there also. He used to drink a lot. So now guess what, Mr. Did? Every time he pull off in this trailer thing, this big, massive, giant Goliath thing, he's spinning tires and heading up along that road. Now one day he decided to leave there, spinning tires, overtaking traffic, can't pass cars. He goes up on the sidewalk, up on the grass, past everybody to go out. Now rather they get him off the road and book him or take his truck away from him, they ride a block off the road.
Wow. Thank
you. Does that make any sense?
Not at all.
It inconvenience all of us that we got to turn around and go right back west and turn around to come back east when we could have gone straight east and gone out to the main road.
Thank you. Look here, Sparky. What an important point, eh? Look at that. As opposed to focusing on the culprit, right? Or, you know, focusing on the problem, we enact solutions that sort of oppress everybody, you know, the good ones and the bad ones. And we got to shift that because all you got to do is put a little energy in it, you know. We had my guest on Tuesday, we talked about that little extra 5% of energy, what that could do. And so my guest today is somebody I know who understands that kind of thing. So I was telling you all about Dick DeVoe. Stories are important. We have to tell the stories, our stories, all the stories. See, people wouldn't continue to be misled if they knew the stories. You see, because a pineapple loom, you can go from a pineapple loom to a fire festival and you get ketchup in the two of them, right? And then you get ketchup in a thing called BPC that could be a fire festival because we ain't quite sure yet, right? But if we tell the stories, if we tell the things, right, then it's less likely that people would get caught up in these kind of scams. Here's another story. See, my father used to rush with the pigs, right? He's passed a good 30 years now. When he passed away, I wore his tennis shoes that he used to rush in, his Pumas, for years, almost 10 years before they fell apart, right? Years later, I went to Suriname with a regional feminist advocacy group called CAFRA, right? And a Bahamian woman named Maria Govan. If y'all don't know Maria Govan is, I think, the director and producer of the world-class, award-winning film Rain that was featured on Showtime. But before that, Maria Govan and Erica Robinson made a documentary called Junkanoo, The Heartbeat of a People. So at the end of this conference, right, we had this opportunity to go into the rainforest. And a group of us went to stay in this maroon village for like 3 or 4 days. And that maroon village was sponsored by UNESCO. And they had a radio that broadcast across all the villages in this group of peoples, right? And we were there one weekend night, like a Friday night. And you know, Bahamian's biggity, Maria Govan had a root CD with her. And she tell them, play this. And when they play that, these boy them jump up in their studio and it's like, wait. How come y'all is our cousins though? Right? I mean, it was just a party. It was just a party, right? Maria, I think she left them with the first Roots Junkanoo CD, right? And that's in the rain. That's in the rainforest right now, right, in Suriname. Years later, Maria and I both had the pleasure and honor of rushing with the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo, white people, and the whole world, called the spirit. I mean, we great, except for the pigs and the Methuselahs, right? Yeah. And the Methuselahs is the first documented all-women scrap group.
Wow.
Right? So all of this thing I learned on this journey, right? And then years later, I say, you know what? We're rushing with this group. I used to make scrap pieces for the members because the members were primarily Bahamians flying in for the holidays. You know, you can't be on bay if you don't have no crepe paper. Right, so I used to make ties and bangles and headpieces for people to, you know, rush in. And I took that and started making art. And I held an exhibition at the Hub, a space formerly known as the Hub, which is an art gallery, and had my art exhibition curated by Perry Wood. That's a Bahamian who lives in Perry Redwood, and he lives in New York now. Wonderful, wonderful Bahamian. Like, this boy is just so talented. Anyway, then, so years now later, I haven't rushed in forever. I don't even know if technically I could call myself a junkanoor. But then I see this young lady who is making not just art, she's making wearable fashion, jewelry, and purses using the junkanoo crepe paper fringe technique. And I say, like, what a story, right? So junkanoo is an integral part of my life. It's important, right? But I know for thousands of Bahamians, junkanoo is a far more integral part of their lives. So I want this to be the first in a series of conversations about junkanoo and the way forward in the time of COVID. My guest and I share multiple storylines. We are both QC Comets, and we both love junkanoo.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine him far more than me. Even though when I fell in love with junkanoo, it's better than falling in love with a man. I was on Bay Street. The BEC Shockers led the spirit join up with them.
Yeah.
And you know, once you hit Bay Street, you can't stop rushing. You can't stop shaking them cowbells. You get a performer, the people can talk to you bad. And they had the Rolling Thunder drum, the biggest drum in the world I ever saw. And when them boy them start beating that Rolling Thunder drum beat, boom, boom.
Oh, man.
Boom, boom. Man, that pushed me straight across Rawson Square. CC, Valentine's Day approaching, but I don't think y'all know what real love is until you hit Bay,
yep.
Right? So, Mr. Andre John, please introduce yourself.
Well, after that, here and I don't know. I'm taken aback. But my name is Andre John. A lot of people know me. I'm a visual artist, painter, sculptor, more known. Junkanoo to the core. You know, so if you want to know any more, you could hit me up on Facebook, all the platforms, you know, Twitter, IG, and then see some of the work, because art is something that you can't really speak of, you have to show. But that's my name, and this is where I'm at. And me and Aaron, we're gonna dissect this thing. We're gonna talk some junkanoo, we're just gonna get involved. We're gonna treat it like a meal.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna get it. You
absolutely
know?
See, because junkanoo is the kind of meal that anybody could come to the table. There's
exactly
a space for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Now you may not be, you see, this is the thing, you can't just go to the head
no
and
definitely
sit down and talk about I as man and I as woman.
No
because junkanoo is a culture.
Yes, that's right.
And the culture creates its own infrastructure.
That's right.
Right, so let me first of all, you're a sculptor, right?
Yes.
The first thing I think about is them big junkanoo pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Do you sculpt them?
Of course. Of
Who
course.
You sculpt them for?
Well,
like for a specific group, or do you work with a bunch of groups?
I work with multiple groups. You know, that's part of my business. It's part of what I do. My kind of idea is to make junkanoo a part of creative industry. So where we as junkanooers or people who participate on that level can make a little money for themselves, you know, and kind of keep the thing going in that way, because you can't do nothing without money. You need
yeah.
a couple of dollars, you know. So that has been my thing, and I've learned that you can't really trap yourself into being in one group, you know. If you wanna make some money, you know, you kind of do it. And the thing is, it's done always. The pasters do it, you know. You'll have guys from one family pasting the girls from Saxons, these things happen, you yes. know? Because, you know, John Canoe, we all just one family.
Yeah. Because I was about to say, mm-hmm. how could, like, there's a disconnect, right?
Mm-hmm.
How could they be talking about they rob us?
Right.
If I know that the boy doing the work, working for everybody.
Right.
But it's great to see that mm-hmm. within those spaces, people are sharing talent.
Of course.
And mm-hmm. resources.
Yeah.
So what do you sculpt outside of John Canoe?
Well, I came from a fine art background. So most of my stuff is figurative stuff. Human figures, human form, faces,
okay.
stuff like that. That is my thing. That's my strength. That's what I enjoy, at least, you know, because art has to be something that you enjoy, that you're able to put your heart, soul, and spirit into.
Mm-hmm.
So then this transmits into a positive or something that people could relate and buy, purchase, or just enjoy, you know?
All right, so I got another question. What's your favorite piece, your favorite sculpture piece? And why is it in your John Canoe space? Is it in the historic cultural space? Or is it, you know, is there something else, another space that you work in?
Mm. Well, I don't have a particular favorite piece. You know, I wouldn't say, well, this piece I enjoyed. You know, some pieces are much easier to accomplish. Now, I'll give you a story. I did it's owned by Alfred Sayers and his wife, Marion Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
It was a piece of Tony McKay. And Tony McKay was my first painting, as well as my first figurative sculpture.
Uh-huh.
So when I did that Tony McKay, that was the easiest sculpture to do. I don't know if I channeled Tony McKay. I don't know if that spirit, you know,
yeah.
it was just out of this world. I did that piece. It was so seamless. It was just, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's still standing today. You know, it's something that, you know, so in terms of being a favorite, more or less. Because like I said, I don't really have a favorite per se. It depends on my mood, how I feel. I have a piece called Desire that was created from my girlfriend,
uh-huh.
my muse. And that is also one of my favorite pieces. I love that. I love that piece so much. The piece at Clifton, underwater, the Heritage Park, the brief St. Nicholas Nuttall was the underwater garden named after. But that piece, the artwork it gave, I did artwork face.
Yeah.
So that I kind of like that as well, because that's unspoken Bahamian history.
Right.
So I like that too.
And
know?
And that's the piece that the face is sitting on the surface of
yes.
the water, of the seabed and looking up.
Yes, that was. And actually that piece was so, that was actually copied by Damien Hirst.
Wow.
Damien Hirst is probably the wealthiest artist, living artist today. But he plagiarized the piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that gave me some sense of, yeah, you're doing things that people see, that they recognize,
and they
that
want
has
to.
Value, exactly. You
right,
know?
And they want to do the same
exactly.
things that
they
you were
Exactly,
they
want to do the same thing.
So look here, John Canoe, if Bahamians, even if you don't take John Canoe seriously, mm-hmm. right, know that a large portion of your brothers and sisters do take it seriously, right? And that there's been both I imagine a financial and a psychological struggle.
Definitely.
Shifting the way that you live in the time of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. What does a John Canoe do in the time of COVID? Financially
right.
and sort of personally, psychologically to connect with John Canoe.
Okay, let me speak as a John Canoe first. As a John Canoe, this was terrible. You know, because yeah. a lot of the guys, females too, girls, sorry, women, we use this time to kind of collaborate with each other,
mm-hmm.
create, be very creative, because it is a creative space. So you have that kind of support system. You know, once you enter a shack, which is essentially a studio, mm-hmm. you know, and you're creating with friends, you become family.
Yeah.
So a lot of that space is a healing space. So you don't have that no more. Come on, you know, we in trouble. We like, oh man, what are we gonna do?
Right.
So we've lost our families. That's what I would equate COVID and kind of paint a picture of what John Canoe has lost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the first part. As a business person, as an artist, that's a totally different thing, because you're not able to create, you're not able to be you, to have that fluidity, and so you're finding other ways. So some junkanoos, some creatives, you know, they're spending more time at home, mm-hmm. you know, personal projects. I was able to do a really, really big piece, but I was fortunate in that I had, you know, gotten involved with some big companies. I signed NDA, so can't talk.
But, yeah.
You know, and but that kind of took up my time, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think this question may be best answered by the Junkanoo Committee itself, right? Mm-hmm. But have we seen an increase in requests for small Junkanoo performances that fit within the COVID protocols for events? And is this an opportunity for groups to mm-hmm. organize their members in smaller units?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I think we actually had a missed opportunity during the COVID, well, the initial stages of COVID. But there was a company, you know, that sponsored a hat competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was beautiful. And you would be surprised to know the junkanoos who got involved were so excited. And, you know, so these, it was categorized as virtual junkanoo, which is, you know, but that is absolutely fine. I'd hope that more people had kind of got on board and supported,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you say, we can do smaller things. I went by the food store the other day, and Rudy, there's a guy who, you know, the guy who drums on Bay Street. I don't know if
you see him,
a tourist,
yeah.
And he was out at the food store, just mm-hmm. beating in front of the food store and collecting money. You know, and I saw him, I was like, wow, this guy, people could link with him and probably have now we're going to Valentine, you know?
Right, a serenade.
Him, yeah, you could have him serenading your people, you know.
And look here, when you send the boy to serenade me, make mm-hmm. sure he can't sing, right?
Yeah,
make sure he can't sing for me.
Yeah, that's what make it fun.
Look, it's not just make it fun, but mm-hmm. you can't sing and you still singing for me. That right. You just make my heart open up, buddy.
Yeah, melt, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then that's what it really is all about. Like I say, I had hoped people would have engaged people like Rudy, you know, and they cheap, you know, and they ain't got to spend no money.
Yeah,
you know, and you could have him serenade, and he'll gladly do it because he does it for pennies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So these are ways in which junkanoo has kind of permeated our society, and become bigger than what it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what is perceived to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, what's your favorite parade? Boxing Day parade or New Year's parade? As a participant and as an artisan.
You see, with me, I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put one before the other. You know, there are differences, of course. There's not as much energy in the second parade as the first.
Mm-hmm.
But as a creative, you spend more time in that week, that separation, trying to produce the second parade.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's like the second wind. You know, you're sleeping in the shack, you're doing it because you got to get to bay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah. A godly day to you, Aaron, and of course your guest.
Good morning.
What I want to ask your guest, right?
Yes.
Why is it that artists uses Junkanoo platform in order to produce their goods? I don't think it's right, because when artists use this Junkanoo platform to produce their goods, the Junkanooers gets, the real Junkanooers gets nothing from that, you know, that finance. Nothing. And it's not right.
So give me an example.
What? Like I've said,
no, I mean,
an artist, right?
Yeah. So you mean like if a junkanoo group makes a CD?
A junkanoo group, established junkanooers or established, you know.
So you're saying that maybe some junkanooers are using the platform to generate income for themselves personally?
Right.
Okay.
And that's not right. You see, they carry on as if as though they established the platform. and they only join in to the, you know, to the,
something
onto
that is
the platform, onto the drunkenness.
I feel you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
think that that need to be fixed. If you're an artist, you know, establish your own platform. Leave the drunkenness alone.
Okay.
You see, because it's the drunkenness thing. When the drunkenness being rushing up and down the street as youngsters, you know, getting run by the police and stuff like that, where were you? But now...
Now that it's a kind of more gentler drunkenness parade...
No.
People
right.
making plenty
no,
money?
No. I got to get on this call.
What are you saying?
You can tell
you
right now.
Speak
directly into the
Okay. See, first of all, you assume that I'm an artist first. No, I'm a drunkenness first.
I didn't say that.
I didn't make any distinction to you.
But okay, because I thought you was talking about me too.
No, but
let's take it to the more general, right?
I said
I'm an artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Artists. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not a part of a group, but because they
have notoriety.
Say it again?
Have notoriety, because they're well known.
Right.
Yeah.
Then, instead of them establishing their own platform, they come and, you know, what's the word I want to use here? They manipulate the drunkenness or the drunkenness platform in order to get their artistry out there. And it's not right.
Okay. I get a sense of what you mean. See, I know a number of Bahamian musicians, right? That have been trying, they make urban, upbeat, not pop music. Some make pop, some make sort of urban, upbeat, fusion music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for at least two decades, people have been trying to figure out, how do you bring that drunkenness sound into popular music with a mix or with a sample? Now, the first sample I heard was, I think it's My Candidate by Sammy Starr or Sosa, or maybe it was a duo, right?
Okay.
And I thought I really liked it. I mean, it really, because I don't like a lot of Bahamian artists who are making pop music, right? Versus urban music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a pop sound that really got boosted, and it made it more full with that Bahamian junk. It was a junkanoo drum beat in the back, without a doubt, right? Since then, I've only seen a handful of people be able to work that sound into their style.
But you know something, Aaron?
Yeah.
The closest people I saw came close to the real drunkenness beat.
Yeah.
They are the police, the policeman.
Right. Incorporating, so they do in dubs, like they take a popular song and do a drunkenness style, right?
Right.
But listen, first of all, the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force bands are the best bands in the world, and they just world class.
Okay. So because the police did that, they are wrong.
No, they're getting paid by the government.
Are they wrong for using junkanoo?
I never said they were wrong. What I'm saying is right. According to what
he was saying that they that's the best attempt at melding the sounds.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is those are people who may not be junkanooers. Those are people who actually suppose they do this for a private function and they're making money for this. Are they wrong for that?
Well, I put it like this. You, anybody as an artist, especially a musician artist, right? If they were to go and dub a American or international song, right? Number one, they don't have the right to do it unless they get the prerogative.
Yeah, they get the authorization.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think it should be the same way.
With the drunkenness sound.
With the drunkenness, because that's the drunkenness platform. They established that. The drunkenness established that.
But look here, listen. Thank you very much for laying out that position. Because at the root of your question is a question that I want to ask every single guest that comes on the show, right?
Uh-huh.
Who does drunkenness belong
to?
too.
Exactly.
And see, the reason I told that story this morning, right, is because I was in this little discussion about Junkanoo a couple of weeks ago, and some people tell me that maybe, you know, I don't understand because I didn't participate in Junkanoo, right?
Uh-huh.
And then when I told my story, mm-hmm. they were like, okay, so you're not a traditional Junkanooer, but mm-hmm. you definitely is a part of Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so sometimes, you know, I want to caution us that we think people have no connection to Junkanoo.
Right, when they do.
When really they do, and it's just not documented because
yes.
we collectively have not respected ourselves, the culture and the art form sufficiently
yes.
to document it, right? And treat it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell you, some people, they're telling me some fierce words, but I don't know about Junkanoo. And I had to tell them, I rush with Spirit, the greatest
yeah.
scrap group ever. Right,
yeah,
but
well,
for some people, rushing in a scrap group don't mean nothing. If you ain't
true.
Rushing in a
big Junkanoo,
right? If you
mm-hmm.
ain't playing in a band,
mm-hmm.
right, on Bay, you ain't really a Junkanooer. That's why I appreciate your position that you brought forward, right?
Thank you.
I absolutely appreciate it.
And I can say something again.
Yes, sir.
I want people to really understand this. When is the original Junkanooers, right? Had to run. Junkanoo really started where people wanted to amuse themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And because of that, they were about the places where in their neighborhood, and the police would come and run them. They would have to take their drums and cowbells and stuff
mm-hmm.
and run from the police.
Yeah.
That was the law.
And
you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Like,
now,
listen.
The governor and everybody else wanted out there.
Right,
but
and they want you to sit nice and polite and don't bounce up and down. And I want to tell them, look here, this Junkanoo.
That's right.
When I was a little girl, my daddy used to drop us off on the porch on East Street and tell us you could watch it from here, but you ain't big enough to
yeah,
be on
well,
Bay.
The fellas used to rush facing one another, scraping cutlass in the road.
That's
you know what I mean?
Collect come from.
What you mean? And that's my history. So I'm going to obviously feel attacked when you separate me from Junkanoo.
As an artisan.
Right, as an artisan. When you
yeah.
separate me from Junkanoo, what you're telling me is that I have no relevance to this thing when I was born in the shack.
And my argument
you
and,
know what
right,
I mean?
And my argument is that even if you like Aaron Green, the most anglo-sized, socialized,
mm-hmm.
proper English speaking, QC going
right.
Bahamian,
right,
that even I have a link to Junkanoo that nobody could deny, even my, I can't deny
exactly.
it, right?
But
that's,
I can say something
that's
to
what
you.
I want to interrogate, these spaces.
Aaron?
Yes, sir. Before we go, because I got to...
Yeah. Some people, it's the heartbeat, have the heartbeat for Junkanoo, but some people only spectators.
You're right, and some people are the heartbeat of Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right, and Junkanoo is their heartbeat.
That's right.
I got to have some people on here.
Thank you for your time.
No, thank you for your introspection,
yes,
right?
No, it's an interesting perspective.
Thank you.
You know?
Yes.
See, because also it delves into the separation, how Bahamians feel like, okay, there's fine art and then there's Junkanoo.
Yeah.
See, for me, that does not exist.
Right.
Art and creativity and Junkanoo is one thing. This is why we look at shacks and we look at them as shacks as opposed to studios, what they really are.
Right. So look here. Caller, you're on the clock, but let's make it quick. I got to go to a break. Good morning. Caller, you still there?
Hello.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Yeah, is this the radio station that's on that's talking about the Junkanoo?
That's right.
Okay, I
want. But you could only talk if you pull for the Spirit. You pull for the Spirit?
Huh?
Go on, sir.
That
no
sound like
there.
Junior.
Go on, sir.
This David Hoyt,
okay.
The producer.
Oh, awesome. How are you?
Yeah, I was calling in reference of the Junkanoo music.
Yes.
I was wondering if there was a way where the music could be originally created, where they create original sound that can be copywritten through the copyright law, and they can actually use that for competitions where bands could be able to play those original songs as a way of competition.
That,
I don't know if that makes any sense.
That's a wonderful idea. What you're going to have to do, right, is that you got to release the music early so the spectators could familiarize themselves with it so they know what it
right.
is. Because that's why the dub thing work.
I think it would be a great idea because it would give the Junkanoo originality more hype.
Yeah, I think so. And I see, and there's also this question. This is another big question I'm gonna ask in this series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is more Bahamian, Rake and Scrape or Junkanoo, and why do we treat them differently, right? And I think a part of it is one have lyrics and one don't have lyrics. Right, because we like to sing along.
I see both of them being Bahamian music.
Mm-hmm. Without
because,
a doubt,
the Junkanoo is more going towards like that international.
Okay.
And then the Rake and Scrape is more folk type oriented.
Yep.
And they both can be used for international purposes.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Listen, leave your contact with the producer because it sounds like I may need to interview you in this series of discussions about Junkanoo and its place in our culture. But I got to go.
My contact is 4250.
Yeah, don't tell all the people. Give it to the producer. Don't tell all the people, especially if you got a tamarind tree. Don't tell anybody about our new relationship. So I want to get to a little promotion the Guardian has. It's the Get Active promotion. Right? Get up, get out, and get active. You have 4 platforms to enter. Over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com. Click on the Get Active link and download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry, and you can win. Remember, promotion ends February 26th. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Andred, I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
And good morning to your very distinguished guest. Very interesting topic, very timely, and I believe that this is the kind of conversation that we need to have ongoing. We're talking about the industrialization or the commercialization of our culture. Junkanoo, as you said, not only belonged to every Bahamian, it belonged to everybody in the diaspora, because Junkanoo is the expression of our African ancestry.
Definitely.
And the problem that we have is that we do not know who we are as a people. And so we are so tribalistic in whatever we try to do.
Yes.
The artist is talking about the refinement of the art of Junkanoo as a visual art. David Hoyt spoke about the music. We can talk about the design and the structure and the history of preserving the heritage and legacy of our people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have allowed Junkanoo to be diminished to just a parade on Bay Street.
Yes, sir.
That's not what Junkanoo is.
Amen.
Junkanoo is the inherited culture of our people that we can trace directly back to the west coast of Africa.
That's
undiluted,
right,
for over 400 years.
Yes, sir.
And so until we appreciate who we are and whose we are and the value of what we have, we will continue to have these little petty differences.
That's right.
About who's supposed to own or not own. Now, when you talk about commercialization, David is absolutely correct. If I have a copyrighted piece of work and you use it without my permission, you have infringed upon my right,
yes,
and I can seek damages.
Mm-hmm.
When you present art in a public forum, however, if someone sees that art and you then decide that you want to create an impression of that art, so long as you do it for material gain or financial gain, you are well within your right.
Exactly.
So who gives you the right if you perform it in a public forum without it being copyrighted?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is we need to educate our people so that we could understand our ownership of our art.
Yes, sir.
If a photographer takes your picture and then he then monetizes that in a public forum, does he have the right? Because the photographer will tell you, it is my capturing of the light as it reflects on your art form that makes it mine,
mm-hmm,
through my camera lens.
Amen.
So he now feels that he has add-on value.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have the discussion. And I think it's a very timely discussion.
Definitely.
And so I encourage you to continue, my brother,
to
promote us wherever you can and however you can.
Oh,
we
yeah,
have taken Junkanoo all over the world.
Definitely.
I'm talking about the recording of, back in the day, the Junkanoo music used to be songs that were written by the people of the group during that period.
Mm-hmm.
So David is absolutely correct. If you look at back in the 1950s, my father recorded a song called Junk, Junk, Junkanoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were Abaco, Bay Street coming down. What was the message? Look out, Bay Street boys. The black folks are taking over and we're coming back for our economy.
Amen, that's right.
Absolutely. And see the,
so you've got to understand that we have a very rich heritage. You talk about Big Black Dick yesterday, Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Green.
Yes, sir.
And we need to teach our history to our children.
Definitely.
So we understand who we are. And this whole thing about us covering up the rich heritage of our people in the revolution that was started back with Pompey and others like him,
mm-hmm.
long before him, I may add, with the Haitians in 1804.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absolutely.
With Destout and the rest of the Toussaint.
Thank you.
Yes.
So the conversation needs to continue. Thank you
definitely,
very much.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so, you know, one of the questions I had to ask is, mm-hmm. is it time mm-hmm. for courses at UB,
long
a school of indigenous
long time.
Art and culture, and the Department of Junkanoo.
Long time, Aaron. Long time. Would that is what we are lacking, and like the caller just said, a big part of that is documentation.
Right.
Because what we're having in the Junkanoo community is the evolution of this creative force. So things are changing. You have cardboard manipulation. We used to use two before.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go on to aluminum rods. And this engineering, this is engineering at its best. So who's going to document this?
Yeah.
If not us. And say, okay, this is where we came from. This is where we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or this is where we have come. And these, and if this could be taught, like I say, in UB, and has to be. It would eventually will.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we value it more and have more appreciation for it, the kids are going to request it. The children, they will want to know. They will want to know, look up at this costume, how they're standing in the air and how this. And you will be surprised to know what those simple little things or we consider simple, how important they are in the wider world. I am able to now produce massive pieces of work because I what I've learned in Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm. So listen, I get a lot of like technical and sort of political questions
mm-hmm.
here, but I wanted, can we talk about men and creativity, right? Because mm-hmm. The men in them shacks are obviously creative.
And the women too now. Don't.
Oh, yeah, no, we know women born creative man. Like,
yeah,
we just, we
exactly,
want to give you all a blind.
Exactly,
we give you all a blind. But, you know, you from outer society, we mm-hmm. hear, oh, the men, they don't have any sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand intimacy.
No, these.
But when you look at what these men are producing.
Yes. Yes.
There's got to be creativity there.
Well, let me tell you how powerful it is, because this is profound for me, and I equate it to something spiritual. Well, anyway, a Bahamian is someone who they'll go to work, and from they sign that paper, they on the clock, and they won't get paid. Whether they're going to go have breakfast after that or have a conversation for an hour, they won't get paid from they sign in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's inherent. Maybe it's a human thing, but definitely I've worked in enough places to know that this is how Bahamians feel about work.
Mm-hmm.
When those guys come into the shack, 90% of them don't want no money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they will sit down and they will be more dedicated to that task than they would the average Joe working in a work environment. And they don't even want no money. You understand?
Yeah.
That is profound. That means you're willing to do something.
Yeah.
Beyond monetary gain. You understand what I'm saying? And these how sharks, Junkanoo has evolved over time. It has presented problems too for business, but at the same time, this is something spiritual. This is something that, and that's what creativity is. I've watched pieces from Junkanoo fall on the ground or on Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the bead work. And you could see the time and effort that someone put into that and people walking on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's because we have no appreciation for the value that we had put into it. the time. You could, I see a tourist grab one of the things and chuck that under her shoulder and she run off with that like she just find gold on the ground. I'm telling you.
I'm not going to say that my mother.
And walk on that.
I'm not going to say that my mother is a Tifa, right? Mm. But if you miss and leave your junk and piece on the ground,
well, that's what it is.
We have a museum for it.
Exactly, because you know how much time has gone into that. You know how much time, you know what it is to lay strips of crepe paper?
Right.
You know how tedious that is? And then to come on the back of that and run beads with hot glue, getting burned.
Yeah. So listen, there's a Bahamian man, and listen, sir, forgive me for not remembering your name right now,
mm-hmm.
who started a model, right,
mm-hmm.
for human resources management, I imagine. I think it's called Festival in the Workplace, where they try to take the principles that they find in the Junkanoo Shack, where Bahamian and young Bahamian
brilliant.
Men are most productive.
Yes, brilliant.
And bring it into the workplace, right? And
yes.
So I want to ask you this, like, could we build a similar model for interpersonal relationships, not intimate, you know,
mm-hmm.
not because you're sharing space
yeah.
for conflict resolution.
Definitely, definitely. See, in all, I think the heart of it is what it is. It's about creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That's really and truly what it's really all about. Because when you're doing something creative, you're actually influencing reality. Because everything around us is creativity. Cars, TV, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, it's just that, and that's why I got kind of taken aback by the first caller, because to me, you can't separate creativity in sections. You can't say, well, this belongs to that and this. No, it's all one.
Yeah.
And we as a people have been fighting or trying to understand who we are because we are not trained to that. We're trained to be plantation workers.
Yeah.
We're not trained to be creative. We don't produce anything in terms of from our hands.
Yeah, very little.
Right,
yeah.
Very little. We actually were bred to serve. So we break in the mold now.
Yeah.
Junkanoo breaks the mold.
Absolutely. Okay, let's stick a pin right there.
Mm-hmm.
I got four texts to read before I end the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, texter. That man, Roosevelt Finlayson, Junkanoo in the workplace. It's a wonderful model, and it's one that we need to figure out if we can inculcate in different working spaces. I got another text. Here's a fun fact. Junkanoo doesn't belong to the people. Belong to the Bahamas alone. Rake and scrape is Bahamian. Junkanoo is held in Bermuda, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Traditionally.
Yeah, it's an African thing.
Yeah,
and I think the Bahamas may be one of the countries that has
the
held
only
it up
one
the most.
That is evolved to what it is now.
Right.
We are the only one.
I think that the sort of Anglican countries do Junkanoo. The
Catholic Jamaica does it. Jamaica has a little
does
small
does carnival
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
I got two more. Where can I see your guests' artistic work online? Repeat that there quick.
Andret, A-N-D-R-E-T, John, J-O-H-N. Look up the name on Facebook. I have a lot of the pieces, you know, in my posts, and you'll get to see a lot of my work like that.
Awesome.
You know, I also did a piece of Sir Lyndon that's in the OAS. I was commissioned by the OAS to do a Sir Lyndon piece several years back.
But
a little international.
Listen, and we know how important that is and how the artists and the keepers of culture are the center of national development and revolution. I got a text here. Junkanoo belongs to the people. If I want to benefit from Junkanoo, that is my right. I am Junkanoo. Aaron, I hope you do regular shows on culture. Well, listen, I feel you. That is your right, but you know you got to pour back in. Even if it's just spirit, you got to pour back in.
No, you have to,
And then the last text, FNM, two straight, maybe three. See, this person been texting for days. Like, they know I was going. This is why I did the Junkanoo show, because they keep taunting me.
Yeah, they taunt
like
you.
Like, this Junkanoo time.
Yeah.
The spirit is when every parade we participate in.
Everyone. Don't worry about
that. You don't watch
that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But listen, I've got to go. I'm out of time. Let me just close it off like this. Let me take us back to the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
See why these conversations about cars are so important? Because the thing is about culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We adopted these cars, and we don't think about the culture that they come from. And America is a culture of driving where at 16 you get your driver's license and you become an adult because you could be free and drive yourself anywhere.
Yeah.
See, but we cannot correlate our sense of freedom and maturity with a car in the same way on an island that's 21/7.
No. And then they learn this in high school. They have driver's ed,
you know?
So we don't have any gone that deep.
That's why understanding culture and your culture in
that's
particular
true.
Is so important.
Yes.
Listen, go beat a drum,
yes,
a table,
yes,
a water bottle. Don't beat no children.
No.
Don't beat no people.
No.
Valentine's Day coming. Mm. Beat your way to the store and buy something. Yeah. Don't even buy something. Think of something creative to do with your loved one.
Come with the thing. Go get one basket at your regular craft store. Buy one right inside the road. Yuck that teddy bear out. Put one Jim Beam or something in that for the fella. And I like Jack Daniels,
yeah.
Cigar and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't throw away the teddy bear now because you can need that to put in the back of the headboard. But
yes, because you ain't spending money on house repairs like you used to.
No, exactly. It's time. Exactly. So
listen, men are creative too.
Yes.
Tomorrow I'm going to talk about some ideas for men.
Yes.
Some free ideas for men for Valentine's Day. Yeah. You guys have a wonderful day.
Yes.
Remember your culture. Lee Van Miller is up next with Unleashed.